All right, looks like I'm off mute at 7:31. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We're here to hear your word, here to understand your word, Lord, and to digest it and live it out, Lord. We thank you for all of your blessings and honor, Lord, and we just praise you for who you are, and in your name, amen. So, who remembers what we talked about last week? Okay, well, we were still talking about God's promises last week. All right, so we were talking about God's promises, and we looked at all of, in the Word where He says so, right? I mean, talk about on Sundays, we elevate God's Word. What God says goes. Doesn't matter my opinion. God's Word says that He gives us promises of rewards. Even Jesus tells us to expect rewards. And I'm just kind of going over the highlights of the title, kind of the notes. So if you have your notes from last week, there's reward for doing the kingdom's work. And then we talked about not growing weary doing it. In due season, we will reap if we don't give up. So we were talking about those things. This title was, we looked at the rich young ruler. What about sacrifices we make now? Remember the disciples, they said, "What about us, Lord? We left everything. We left the house behind we to follow you." And Jesus didn't rebuke them for asking the question. He straight up told them, "You guys that did this, you're going to be rulers with me. Like there's a reward for you." So Jesus didn't even mind them asking that question. And he says, now in this time and the age to come. So you're going to be blessed now in this time as well. So, and we need to remember what God considers valuable, not what we think is valuable here on earth. So the summary at the end was he entrusts us with something, which gifts, talents, etc. We faithfully use those for his kingdom. We may not see the reward immediately, but we don't grow weary or give up. And God remembers our work, and the harvest and reward come because He promises it. So, and the very last statement I made was, we shouldn't serve God only to get something from Him, but neither should we ignore rewards when God Himself repeatedly tells us about them. So, and if we remember Colossians 3:2, where it says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, we can focus on that. Right. So everybody got their notes for tonight? Okay. Good. A plus for you guys. All right. Let's talk about more of God's promises of reward. Look at Matthew 10:40, and I can read it to you as well. You don't have to turn to every single one. But Matthew 10:40 says, he who receives you, speaking to the disciples, receives me. And then he who receives me receives him who sent me, which is God. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, he shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So even we see here, even small acts matter. First, he was talking about receiving. You know, if you receive the disciple, you receive Jesus and you're going to receive God, right? And then if you receive a prophet, you're going to get the same reward as a prophet. I don't understand all of that. I don't have a lot of that, but that's what the verse said. But there in 42, he talks about, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall no means lose his reward. So even the small acts matter. I mean, something as small as giving a cup of cold water. And then the same thing is in Mark 9:41. Let me read that to you real quick. It's the same thing. It's written out a little differently. Mark 9:41 says, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, Assuredly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. So whoever gives a cup of water in Christ's name, so if you're given this cup of water because the person is doing whatever they're doing in Christ, you're helping the kingdom move forward. The key is nothing done for Christ is too small for him to notice. Okay? Something that's done for the kingdom, even if it's small, he notices. Okay, I'm going to turn to Matthew 6. I'm going to read 1 through 4. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So Jesus was warning us not to give charitable gifts simply to be seen and praised by people. If that's the reason why you're doing it, then that's the reward you're going to get. If man's recognition is what we're seeking, man's recognition becomes our reward. Instead, give for God. Your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you, it says. So the same action can have a completely different eternal result depending on why we did it. And you know God, he judges the heart, so he knows why we did it. We could give, but with the wrong motive, it will not give us a heavenly reward. Let's look at Hebrews 13 and verse 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We often think of praise as a sacrifice to God, but this scripture here also describes doing good and sharing with others as sacrifices that please Him. We know what it means to sacrifice for God, right? But what's God's perspective? When I give and I do good to one another, you're sacrificing to God. But we don't always see it that way. I feel like, okay, I'm doing something good for Brian and Christy right there on my screen. Okay, I'm doing this for Brian and Christy. But the way God sees it is, you're doing this for me. Just pointing that out in that verse. Giving isn't merely helping another person, it can actually be an act of worship towards God. That's having that perspective of heavenly things. How does God see this? Okay, well, then that's my motivation, is how God sees it. Turn back a couple pages to Hebrews 10, verse 34 and 35. He's writing to them. He says, For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. These believers right here, they willingly accepted the loss of their earthly possessions because they knew they had a better and an enduring possession in heaven. So what we just read in Hebrews 13, they had the mindset of what's that, Colossians 3, of setting their minds on heavenly things and not on earthly things. They knew that. They had that down. That's why when they got plundered of all their goods, they were like, it's cool. I got a better reward coming to me. They didn't let that say, oh, we're devastated. It wasn't like that. They had confidence in Hebrews author, which I think is Paul, but there's debate on it. He says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Stay in that frame of mind that where you're at right now is the right place. Oh, there it is. There's my notes. This connects directly with Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Remember that earthly possession, those things are all temporary. We're moth. destroy and thieves steal, right? Heavenly possession, though, it's enduring. Something that lasts forever is way better than something that's going to not last, right? Okay. Let's look at these things right here. Rewards for seeking God. Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6. We're in this Beatitudes. Okay, it's about when you pray. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Why? Because they've been seen by men. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Okay, first off, we don't pray to impress people. Pray to your Father privately, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What does prayer do? Prayer strengthens our relationship with God. Okay? The goal isn't public recognition, it's intimacy with Him. That's the whole reason why we pray anyway. It's to get closer to Him and to communicate with Him and build that relationship with Him. Just look at a few verses in verse 16. We're going to be talking about fasting. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Here they are trying to appear to men, right? That's their motive for doing it. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Fasting. Don't fast so other people will be impressed by how spiritual you are. Fast for God, not an audience. Again, Jesus says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Hebrews 11, verse 6. All right, Hebrews 11, 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We get rewarded for seeking him. Okay? We got to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's a pretty powerful description of God's character. God identifies himself as a rewarder. So if we look in these last few verses in Matthew, along with this one, Jesus is given the same instructions concerning all giving and prayer and fasting. Don't do them to be seen by people. Do them for your Father, and your Father sees and rewards. So we have to ask ourselves, who am I trying to impress, people or God? We're not trying to be men pleasers. We want to be God pleasers, but it's tempting to get some kind of recognition when you do something, but if our thoughts are, I'm doing this for God, then that goes away. I don't need any recognition because it's between me and my Heavenly Father. So we talk about what do we do in prayer? We're seeking Him, right? What are we doing in fasting? We're trying to shove down the flesh and get in the spirit with him and become closer with him. And then this verse here in Hebrews says he's a rewarder of those who do seek him. And so that's what we're doing in prayer and fasting. Rewards for being persecuted. Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When people revile, persecute, or falsely accuse you because of Christ, we're supposed to be rejoicing and being exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And Jesus reminds us that the prophets before us experienced the same treatment. I don't think I read that part. For great is your reward in heavens, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So even prophets were persecuted before you. Hypothetical. Let's say the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to do this now. And I went and did that now. And then the people who were over there talked a bunch of trash about me. Okay, am I supposed to get hung up on that trash? Am I supposed to get hung up and be worried about what people are saying to me? Or should I be rejoicing and be exceedingly glad? For great is your reward in heaven for obeying what he told me. Right? So just a little hypothetical I threw out there. You know, when we have those kinds of issues, we should just have a big smile on our face and knowing that we'll be rewarded for our obedience and we're doing it for the Lord's sake, for the kingdom's sake. So that's what that verse says. Luke 6:22. I think it's similar to what we just read, just a different account. Luke 6:22 and 23. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as some kind of evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Yeah, same thing, just written a little differently. But rejoice, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. So why can we rejoice? Not because persecution itself is enjoyable. We're not some kind of sadist, and we enjoy that, but we can look beyond the present suffering to the eternal reward. The same eternal perspective we've been seeing throughout the study, the Colossians 3, verse 2, right? Set your mind on things above. And that's why we can do that. Hebrews 10:35, I believe we already read it, said, don't throw away your confidence because it carries great reward. This is kind of my notes written twice. Earlier believers endured suffering and even the loss of possessions because they knew they possessed something better and lasting in heaven. And that connects beautifully with the earlier principle that present sacrifice isn't the end of the story. That's sowing and reaping. You know, the we don't reap as soon as we sow. There's a we put some work in, later on we get the harvest. Okay, so to wrap this up, God promises reward for things that can seem very ordinary. The things we talked about tonight are just the small things. Okay, so remember the very first thing, right? Even a cup of cold water, right? So even the small acts matter. If we're giving, God sees it. If we're praying, God sees it. If we're fasting, God sees it. If we're seeking Him, God rewards it. If we're doing good, God is pleased. If we're sharing, God considers it a sacrifice. Even the smallest things, God remembers, even a cup of water. And enduring persecution, great is your reward in heaven. So the common thread is that God sees. We don't have to receive our reward from people now because God promises something better later. So that changes the question from, did anybody notice? Which I'm a big culprit of that. Like, man, I did this. They didn't even say nothing. You know, I think we all can recognize that before, but now I don't need to. I can say, did God notice? And according to all of these scriptures we read, He did. So we don't need to be hung up on the first question if anybody noticed or not. Man, I helped so and so move, spent my whole weekend laboring, doing this or whatever. And they never really even said thank you, right? We could get hung up on something stupid like that. And oh, guess what? I just stepped in an offense trap that Satan put out for me. Or I can just be like, it doesn't matter because I'm not trying to impress them to help. I'm just helping because God sees it as a sacrifice and I'm doing this for God. So that's the lesson. We're going to get more into some of these small things that we could see as everyday small things, but knowing that all of these small things are rewarded to us, they could become big things in our lives. So that's tonight. Who's got questions? Who's got comments? It's perfectly fine if you don't, because I'll be going to bed a few minutes sooner.
Yeah, I'm ready to go to bed too, but I just want to say that this is really, I think it's really comforting to think about it this way, you know, because there's that scripture that says whatever you do, whatever you set out to do it unto the Lord, and I've always kind of felt that way, If you're helping somebody, and sometimes it's not the best things to do and stuff, but I mean, it is, I like the way you have it all laid out because I don't know. I don't think that, I always look at it that way, that God is pleased about it. I just think almost like it's my duty to do this, but I'd rather look at it as he's pleased with it, and I don't think I had before. So thank you.
He's pleased when you do it for him. If I'm doing it to get somebody's attention, I got my reward. That's what we read earlier, but you're right though.
Mike and I actually have been talking about this very thing for a little while, and what I find for myself is it brings out the best of what God wants from me, out of me. I lose pride. I lose, like you were talking about, things. Oh, did he see? Do they see this or any of that? That goes away like completely, and I don't do things anymore for people. And when I get in that mindset, and so it helps me just be the best version of what God wants for me as a servant. That's what I.
Paul writes a lot of stuff about slaves and masters, and it's the servant's job isn't really to, did they notice? It's just to do the work because the master wants it done. And we don't have to think it like that, but I think when I do things to please God, I really don't care about the acknowledgement. And like you said, it all goes away. It all goes away. It's just having your mind on things above than here than instead of here on earth. I mean, who wants rewards when what they have a saying at my work, like 1,000 attaboys is erased by one F up. You know what I mean? So here on earth, all those attaboys can just go away. But with God, he's watching, and he promises he will reward us for this stuff. So that's the reward we should focus on, is the one that lasts forever. So, and when we are doing that, it's we don't have to think about the other.
Peace.
Michael, will you pray for us?
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to get together tonight and hear your word. I mean, thank you so much for what you're bringing to us through Dan. I pray that and just continue to rest on our hearts, and pray that we're able to take in everything that's being said and be able to incorporate it for you in our lives. I pray that you bless the trip that Danny and Casey are making, and the boys' football team, and just get them safe and get them home safe, and lift all these things up in your name. Amen.
Amen.